Jonah chapter number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. That's as far as I'll read for sake of reading. I want to, I guess, look at some great things in the book of Jonah, some great things in the book of Jonah. And I don't mean like, wow, that's great. I'm talking about huge, big events, things that had taken place. The Bible says that Jonah, that when the word of the Lord had come to him, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. That's the first one that we see, that Nineveh, that great city. And when you see Nineveh, that great city, he's talking about in every way. It meant that it was old. I mean, when you go to a place like Rome, or you go to a place like the pyramids in Egypt, those are what you'd say a great place. They are old, as far as greatly old. And Nineveh was one of those places. It was a great old city. It was great in many ways. But some of the ways were very bad, very bad. But God sent Nineveh to cry unto this great city, to cry against it. For their wickedness is come up before me. When you think about this city, and I want to tell you something. Everywhere in the Bible, and I want you to think about this. Everywhere in Scripture where you find a big city, a great city, you find great sin involved. And you can look across the world today. And I know sin can be found in a cave. Are you listening to me? But you look in the cities of the world, that's where you're going to find some of the rottenest holes of sin. Are you listening? And perversion that you'll ever find on the face of the earth is in these great cities. And God had a commission for him. A commission for him. God's got something for his people to do. Right. Amen. And listen, the Lord doesn't just take time to let wind come out of his mouth and words speak to me and you to tell us, this is my word, this is my command, to have us not to do it. And but hey, God said, I want you to go and I want you to cry against it. And he's talking about a great cry. I mean, he wanted Jonah to go there and really lift up his voice against Nineveh. Really lift up his voice. This great city was given a great cry by Jonah. And this great cry, it means to call out. You ever heard somebody say, I'm going to call them out? He was going to go there and he was going to name their sin one by one. He was going to call them out. Jonah was going to go cry against that city. That's what his job was as a prophet. You'll find Jonah over in, I think it is 2 Kings, maybe chapter 4. You'll find maybe or one of those chapters in 2 Kings, God mentions Jonah. The son of Amittai, same one. I mean, he was a prophet of God indeed. He was a man of God during the times of the kings. And God had called him to go. As far as I know, this is the one big event in Jonah's life, in his ministry. He may have done more. No doubt he did plenty more. But listen, God wanted him to go cry against that great city. Now, maybe Jonah had it in his heart how wicked that place was and how deserving of hell that place was. Because when God called him to go, he didn't want to go. He didn't want to go preach to them. And he even says why. Because of the great mercy of God. He knew God would have mercy on them if they called out to him. And he didn't want them to have mercy. There must have been something. Are you listening to about Jonah that he just disliked? He hated that place. He wanted them to perish so much that he began to run from the Lord. And so he cried against their wickedness. Great wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah, look what he says. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah thought that God, you know, he was going to be leaving God if he left where he was at. I don't know why Jonah didn't realize God could go with him. You can't run from God. Listen, you can try to push God behind you and God's ways behind you back and say, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. But God's got a way of tapping on your shoulder wherever you are. Amen? God knows exactly where you are, where you've gone. And I've preached this here before. If you'll notice in Jonah's life, when he left to go down, he went down, down, down. Yeah. That's the way away from God is always down. Yeah. It's never up. Yeah. Amen. You'll never go up going away from God. You'll always go down. And so he went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. See, over and over, down, down. To go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind. Here's the great wind. This great city that he could have went to and preached a great message, have a great cry, but he's run from the presence of the Lord, and now God has sent a great wind. And that means a violent exhalation. It's like God went, I mean, God really blew on that place. God started a whirlwind, a tempest. That's what that tempest is. A hurricane. There was a mighty tempest in the sea. Not on the sea. In the sea. There's a difference when it's on the sea and when it's in the sea. When it's in the sea, the water is moving. Are you hearing me? I mean, the water is turning and the water is breaking and slapping up against everything that comes in its way. Are you hearing me? The tempest was in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. I mean, listen, this hurricane, this tempest that God sent, it would have twisted that boat in half. one that usually would sail the sea fine. Are you hearing me? God would have twisted it in half and busted it into toothpicks to get to Jonah. The Lord sent a great wind and a mighty tempest. And that mighty was the same word as the word great that he used. Same word. God took a great wind and a great tempest, mighty tempest, in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried. This is great fear. Great fear. And I always, a lot of time, I look up these words because, you know, I want to know, were they just a little bit upset? You know, were they like the disciples out there on the sea? You know, these mariners, they were in a great shriek, yelling, screaming for their lives. They had not been in anything like this. And these are men that sailed that sea. They've seen storms. Are you listening to me? But this is a great one. This is as great as anything they've ever seen. And these men, these professionals, are afraid for their life. They are scared to death. And every man, the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God. I mean, could you imagine hearing them screaming out, Zeus, help me. Save me. Whatever their God's names, and the gods that ain't got no ears didn't hear. Amen. I want you to see Jonah's fleeing, the reason for his fleeing. I mean, God had him to go down to Nineveh, and he didn't want to go. That's why he fled. He just did not want to go. He didn't want to go there and do what God would have him to do. And in verse number 3, again, he went, you see the route that he took. Down, 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 away. Finally to the edge. Are you hearing me? And the result of his fleeing. Look in verse number 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. He didn't expect this storm to come. And he thought anything that come, these mariners can take care of it. But look what happened. Look at what happened. I mean, the result of him running. The Bible said in verse 6, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Well, that's a great verse right there. Like those that are asleep on God. Arise, O sleeper, and call upon thy God. What are you doing asleep? You need to be calling on your God. That God would have mercy upon us. They said, every one to his fellow, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. They believed in that. They believed they could find the very one through their lot casting. And it was amazing in those days how that worked. Maybe it was the winking of God, you know, toward them that are ignorant. I don't know. But they could find out. Even Israel used lots. That's how they found Achan. Out of all the Israelites, millions of them, who took the Babylonian garment and the wedge of gold? Nobody's talking. Nobody knows. One man knows, the man that took it. He's not talking. You know what Joshua did? He cast lots. He used the two stones. The priest, they had a black stone and a white stone. The Thummim and what is the other one, Brother May? That's right. The Cumin and the Thummim. And that's what God called them. And you could reach in. The priest would, and the one he pulled out, he trusted God that it would show who it was or which way to go, white or black. They found him. They found him. And these men were doing something similar. They were going to cast lots so that they could find him. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Verse 8, then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Oh, really? The God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Now, he may have feared the Lord at one time. And he may have even had a certain sense of the fear of the Lord. But he's disobedient right now. He's running. I mean, he had come into their midst. And he ought to have known, if God come after him, listen, that it was going to affect all those around him. Amen. They were saying, why'd you come to us? That's the same way that Egyptian Pharaoh had told Abraham, what have you done to me and my people? What have you done coming into my midst, acting like this is just your sister and not telling me she was your wife? Now I'm in trouble with God. These men, they saw the same thing. We're in trouble with God all because of you. Could you imagine that, getting a whole group of people in trouble with God because of your disobedience? Amen. Because of your failure just to heed to the Lord, just to do what God wants you to do. Amen. God's got something for you to do. It's His will. It's your purpose to do exactly what God asked you to do. So Jonah, the results is fleeing. Verse 4 through 11. The men, verse 10, were exceeding afraid. Said, why hast thou done this? For the men knew he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. They said unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm? And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. That right there was probably the most honorable thing that Jonah could have done in that situation. You know what most men would have been doing today? Well, I know it's my fault, but don't cast me out in the water. He'd be wanting everybody else to die with him. He's not wanting to die. But he's not wanting them to live. Ain't that a shame? That's what you're doing when you disobey God. You're not wanting to die necessarily, but the ones you're with, you're not wanting them to live. Harm will come their way. Harm is going to come. And it's going to be all because of you. Or you can let them throw you overboard. So there he is. Jonah begins to pray in chapter 2. And Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. Thou heardest my voice. Now I know what people will say. Look at there. See that? That he said, out of the belly of hell. And he was in a whale's mouth, in his belly. There's two words that's used in the King James Bible for hell. One of them is the one that Jonah used here, out of the belly of hell. And it has more of a notation of the place of the dead physically, the grave. People try to use this verse right here to say, see, they ain't no fiery hell in the heart of the earth. They try to twist what Jonah had said right here. But there's a whole different word for hell used over in the New Testament. In Luke chapter number 16, when he's talking about hell. Are you hearing me? The rich man in hell. People lifting up their eyes in hell. And that's the place of the departed souls. That's the very abbreviation of it, or what I'm trying to say. That's what it means. The place of the departed souls. That's different than the whale's belly right here. His soul hadn't departed him. Amen. He was still in his body. He thought he was going to die right there in the whale's belly. That's what he thought. Amen. Jonah, he began to pray. You look at his prayer and the answer to his prayer. In verse 10, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Jonah had got done praying, and God didn't even talk to Jonah. God talked to the fish. Spit him out. That's all God had to say. Go and spit him out. Our God, listen, people, a lot of people say, this was just a story. It's just typology. It's amazing that Jesus mentioned him by name and said, just like Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, I'm going to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. No, this ain't no just little bedtime story. It's a little Hebrew story they tell their children. No, this is real.
Yeah. Amen.
Real.
Sure.
And I'll say, I mean, listen, if God said, listen, look what the Bible said in verse 3, for thou hadst cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas. I believe that. And the floods compassed me about. I believe that. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. I believe that. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. You imagine in the middle of the storm out there, sinking, drowning, he looks toward the temple. He gets his bearing somehow. I don't know how. But he turned toward the east. Turned toward the temple. Amen. That's what he said.
Yeah.
I believe that. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Amen. Jonah prayed, verse 1, unto the Lord his God, out of the fish's belly. And they'll say, there's not a well anywhere that could swallow a man. Right here, and I think it means well, but he said out of the fish's belly. God got a fish big enough with a throat big enough to swallow a man. Amen. A shark could swallow a man. Don't you think something a lot bigger, God could give it a throat like a shark? Sure he can. God can do anything. If God said that there was a great fish swallowed Jonah, I believe that. I believe it. And Jesus even said it. Jesus even said it. Jesus believed in this. Amen. This is history that it happened. God answered when he spoke to the fish. Jonah finally, he went to preach in chapter 3. Just a few words. Finally preached that great message. In chapter 3. I mean, it didn't take much. Verse 5 in chapter 3. So the people of Nineveh believed God. That's all God wanted. Jonah to go preach and for them to believe. What a great revival. The people. I mean, this is a great city now. And they're all from the king down. People of Nineveh believed in God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. He took off his kingly robe and put on the sackcloth of repentance. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. The great cry from Nineveh. Let them turn every one from his evil way and from violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? God saw their works that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. This is one of the greatest revivals that ever happened in the Old Testament. He had the authority to command his whole city, beast and all, not to eat, not to drink. They were all going to fast. They were all going to sit in sackcloth and ashes. And they were going to all turn from their filthy, wicked sin. That's what God has been saying for millennia. My people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. We need to find out what it is that's, you know, would cause God to not come by. Is there something that you've done? Is there something that I've done that God told me, this is what I want you to do, and we're not doing it. We're running from it. And we're going to go down, down. We're going to go down. No. God wants us to turn back to Him. God always wants His people to turn back. God wants sinners to turn to Him. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Great things found in Jonah. The great lesson he learned. Great lesson he learned. You can read that last chapter. Jonah. He was angry still and but God did something for him, sitting under a gourd. God had to turn hot wind on him and let the sun beat down on his head. God said to Jonah in chapter 4 and verse 9, God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 70,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Stops. Don't you know that Jonah surely felt like God took the example of the gourd. Something Jonah thought he was going to really get to enjoy, and he didn't even plan it. It just popped up behind him. And then died. He's upset. Mad. But these people that God raised up, and that God had mercy on, they repented and turned to the Lord. God was willing to give them life. Thought more of a thought. It's amazing what people think more of than they do the Word of God and the plan of God. You know it? Lord, help us. Amen. What a great God we serve. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm done.